Here's Check On Stories. We're following for you on Robinhood Radio, taking a look at our COVID-19 case numbers throughout our immediate tri-state area. We'll start off with Litchfield County, Connecticut. All these data reports came in yesterday afternoon. Falls Village, none. Canaan, 5. Cornwall, 6. Kent, 7. Norfolk, 11. New Milford, 272. Salisbury, 12. Sharon, 14. Torrington, 511. Meanwhile, locally in Dutchess County, as of yesterday afternoon, Amenia, less than 5. Dover, less than 5. Millerton Village, less than 5. Milan, less than 5. Pauling, less than 5. The town of Northeast, less than 5. Pine Plains, less than 5. Red Hook, less than 5. Red Hook Village, less than 5. Rhinebeck, 7. Rhinebeck Village, less than 5. Stanford, less than 5. And Tivoli Village, less than 5. Washington, less than 5. In Columbia County, they have had 37 residents that have passed away from COVID-19, 422 confirmed positive cases, 39 active cases of COVID-19 now in Columbia County, 346 of the 422 cases have recovered, 11 of the positive cases are hospitalized, none of those in ICU. In Berkshire County, Massachusetts, we have an update as of yesterday afternoon. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health reduces Berkshire County case by 1 with a revised total of 578. In the latest data available, there were no hospitalized patients on the coronavirus at Berkshire Medical Center in Pittsfield, Fairview Hospital in Great Barrington. In Berkshire County, there have been 578 positive coronavirus cases to date. The Commonwealth announced 18 new deaths yesterday, with a statewide total of deaths now at 7,665. They reported 195 new positive test cases statewide, for a new total of 105,885 since the pandemic began. In school budget votes that were tabulated last night by local boards of education in New York State, in Weebatuck, the school budget passed 673-275. Elected to the Board of Education, Christopher Lounsbury, Judy Moran, and Jay Newman. Pine Plains Central School District, the budget passed 1,428 yes, no 643. Bus proposition, yes, 1,295, no 761. Board of Education, Jim Griffin and Heidi Johnson. The Dover Union Free School District budget vote yesterday. The budget passed by 522-234. And on the board, Jessica Chutka Pelletier, Paul Palmer, and Gail Rohr. The Taconic Hills school budget passed by a vote of 710-262. Proposition 1, adoption of the budget, passed. Proposition 2, board member election, David Balin, 566, 1 5-year term. Joseph Costa, 500 votes, and Teresa Terry Sullivan, 509 votes, 1 5-year term. Proposition 3, capital improvement project, building and site improvements, yes, 635, no, 341. Proposition 4, capital improvement project, North Sports Complex, yes, 311, no, 660. Proposition 5, purchase of school vehicles and buses, yes, 704, no, 265. And proposition number 6, capital outlay project, yes, 760, no, 197. So meetings coming up this week in our tri-state region. There is a meeting in Cornwall to the Board of Education at 4:15. The Sharon Town Hall will be the location of the Transfer Station Building Committee. That will happen at 5:30. The Village of Millerton will have their next regular board monthly meeting at 6 p.m. In Sharon, the Conservation Commission meets at 6:30. The Region 1 ABC Committee has a special meeting at 7 p.m. Coming up on Thursday in Cornwall, the Board of Finance meets at 7 p.m. There's a town board meeting coming up in Pine Plains on the 18th at 7 p.m. as well. In Kent, the Highway Department will be applying oil and stone treatment to various roads through Thursday. Drivers are warned to expect short delays or detours. The roads to be done include all or portions of South Commons, Saddle Ridge, Bulls Bridge, Highland, Camp Slat, and Gear Mountain. In a story in yesterday's Republican American, two veteran teachers in Falls Village are leaving their classrooms and they head into retirement. Paula Rogers, who's been teaching English and Language Arts at the middle school, just finished her 30th year. She previously taught at Indian Mountain School in Salisbury. And Amy Lake primarily has taught middle school social studies over her 32-year tenure, but also literature, reading, writing, research skills, keyboarding, and social studies in grades 3 and 4. Lake, too, found Kellogg a special place where, quote, there is a culture of kindness, opportunity to innovate and collaborate with colleagues and students, end quote. Connecticut's coronavirus phase 2 reopening plan is all set now for today. The phase 2 includes indoor dining, gyms, nail salons, theaters, museums, amusement parks, hotels, libraries, spas, tattoo parlors, bowling alleys, and more. The phase two businesses in Connecticut that are expected to reopen today include hotels, no bar areas, gyms, fitness and sports clubs, all personal services, outdoor arts, entertainment and events up to 50 people, outdoor amusement parks, movie theaters, bowling alleys, social clubs, pools, all museums, zoos and aquariums, and restaurants indoor with no bar. Also under phase two, several education and community services are opening up, selected youth sports, public libraries, all summer day camps, non-residential workforce programs, non-residential clinical laboratory courses, K-12 summer school study, other non-residential programs, community colleges, and graduate programs, and more. By the way, the public libraries are set to reopen on June the 20th. During phase two, those who are at risk and those who are 65 and older are encouraged to continue to stay home and stay safe. Face masks and coverings will also be worn at all times during both phases two and three, and social distancing will still be encouraged. Phase three would happen 4 weeks after phase two and would include the reopening of bars, indoor event spaces and venues, and indoor amusement parks and arcades. Connecticut's top economic development official estimated this week that the Connecticut economy will likely take until the second half of 2021 to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. David Lehman, the commissioner of the Department of Economic and Community Development, delivered that assessment to state lawmakers on the Appropriations Committee 2 days before a second group of businesses were slated to open. A two-alarm fire in Red Hook destroyed a Kelly Road residence, displacing two residents. Red Hook Fire Company received reports of the fire originating in the basement about 9 a.m. on Monday, according to the fire company. The first floor of the residence collapsed less than 10 minutes after the fire company arrived to the scene. Moments later, the roof caved in. Firefighters had the blaze under control in about 45 minutes, but they spent about 2 hours dealing with hotspots, according to the company. Visitors in New York will be allowed again at hospitals and group homes in New York after being banned for nearly 3 months during the coronavirus pandemic. Governor Cuomo announced yesterday the move comes as New York continues to see lower hospitalizations and deaths due to COVID-19. The respiratory disease caused by the coronavirus, a total of 25 deaths were reported statewide on Monday due to the virus, the lowest daily total since mid-March. The disease has killed more than 24,000 New Yorkers since March the 1st. The new rules for visitors include time limits on visitation, as well as requiring all visitors to wear personal protective equipment and undergo temperature and COVID-19 symptom screening, according to Cuomo's presentation during his daily press briefing in Albany. Meanwhile, in Great Barrington, as restaurants open for outdoor dining, plans are in the works to close off a downtown street on two weekends to add extra seating. Town officials have suggested closing both Railroad and Castle Streets, bringing about 4 p.m., something they say would help struggling businesses and create a summertime cafe culture that would lift pandemic-broken spirits. But other retailers say that while they're supportive of the restaurants, the plan would hurt 10 stores on Railroad Street already injured by being shuttered for more than 3 months. In Pittsfield, duty-bound by a 20-year-old consent decree on a far newer pact, GE has dropped a board-stroked description of how it would go about removing carcinogenic toxins it spewed for decades into the Housatonic River. The filing with the Environmental Protection Agency came 4 months after GE signed the agreement that allows it to bury roughly 9/10 of the material dredged from the river, reaches in a New England landfill in Lee. The EPA will be the next big player to weigh in when it releases revisions to the already modified plan on how the removal of PCBs will proceed. And joining U.S. Senator Ed Markey for a video discussion on racial justice last Friday, four black leaders from Western Massachusetts said it's imperative that the U.S. reckons with the deep roots of systemic racism in the nation. Markey moderated a conversation with Edgerton Dennis Powell, the president of the NAACP's Berkshire chapter, Whitney Battle Baptiste, an associate professor of anthropology at the Massachusetts Amherst, and Trevor Baptiste, the former chairman of the Amherst Pelham Regional School Committee. Participants explored the history of policing and racial discrimination in the U.S. and also theorized what actions could be taken to dismantle what they see as a long-standing unjust system. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgans at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com, also on Facebook, and by Salisbury Bank and Trust, salisburybankandtrust.com. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 526.82 to 26,289.98 yesterday. The Nasdaq starts off today at 9,895.87 and the S&P 500 at 3,124.74. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.